Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
Sharing some of her most exciting client regression sessions, Shelley A. Kerr invites you to explore past life experiences from ancient Egypt, the Roman Empire, Lemuria, Atlantis, planets beyond Earth, and more. In addition to fascinating case studies, Shelley helps you uncover your soul's earliest experiences and clear out unwanted influences from these times so you can move forward into your brightest future. This book includes more than 50 engaging activities to help you remember and make sense of your soul history. You can create a self-discovery journal, complete a past life regression, identify your purpose, and heal trauma from previous incarnations. By pinpointing where your soul existed in the past, you can find meaningful answers to questions about your present while getting to know your true self than ever before. Pick up your copy of Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds. Understand your soul's journey through time, right now on Amazon. And now, here's K-Town with special guest, Shelley Kerr.
This current book is really a collection of many of the different kinds of case studies that I've been doing over the last 20 plus years that I've been working as a past life regressionist, pretty much going into so many different areas, prehistory, goes into Mesopotamian case studies, Egypt, Greece, Europe, you know, the Celts and the Druids, the Vikings, the Americas, the Romans. Then we go into the other fun areas of Atlantis, Lemuria, people who believe they can connect with lives in other planets or just as consciousness, pure form consciousness out in space. So it's just a little bit of everything, K-Town.
That's awesome. How long, like, is this the culmination of how many of your clients?
Oh my gosh. I have been working as a professional regressionist for over 20 years now. So I've worked with thousands of people over the past 20 years. And so this is really a collection of, I don't know, several thousand people that I've encountered over these years. And the most common, and then some, you know, I have several books on this topic, but I'm putting in some of the areas here that I've never covered before in any of my other books. So,
and okay, so several thousand. Wow. And so tell me, you know, for those that have no clue what a hypnotherapist does, tell us what you do exactly. How do you get that information from your client?
Basically, you know, this is the work that I do now is based on some work that I had done for myself many years ago. I was taken on a past life regression, and how it works is, it's really like if listeners are going on a guided meditation, like let's say you were listening to, you know, Apple Podcasts or whatever, and you're listening to a guided meditation, you're relaxing, you're going through a relaxation, and then you're being asked, though, to go back to memories and events prior to your current lifetime, because the idea is, and I talk about this in all of my books, that I believe that we have these memories, they're in our subconscious, and if you're asked the right questions, then different memories of previous times will emerge. And so it's usually centered also around like an issue, whatever the person, let's say they're having a relationship issue or different challenges, then we'll say, okay, let's go back to a source event where this began. That could be earlier in this current life, obviously, but sometimes, again, it could be hundreds or thousands of years ago.
And can you tell me, like, how do you know, like, when to stop with a client? I mean, are you saying, you know, that you can get to them or get to their information or anything that they want to know within a certain time frame? Or
yeah, it's usually there's a specific process that I've developed, and so I now, you know, after so long of doing this, I know what works best. So a shorter journey. I have some up on my YouTube channel and we'll get that out later, but if people want to try a shorter one, but normally it'll take about an hour. But even a shorter 20-minute journey can get people into a space where they can recall those things. Again, if they're just taken into the space and ask the proper questions, it can emerge relatively quickly.
All right. And so let me ask you this. So how do they know they're not making up stuff? I think that's the hardest part, maybe for a therapist and for the, you know, the, I hate to call them patients. Do you call them clients? Is that what you call them?
Clients.
Clients. Yeah. There you go. So how do you know? I mean, that takes a bit of trusting, because trust me, I've tried it myself and I felt really weird and thought I was making up stuff. So I'm not sure about it. But anyway, how do they know and how do you know they're not making up, just clearly just making up stuff?
It's a great question. The reality is we just don't know that. We just don't know that. There's no way. I mean, I really believe that people are, you know, we have a story that we're telling, that we can tell ourselves. Like if somebody, let's say, for example, if somebody's having a relationship issue and they want to go, how do I know this person? And let's just say, for example's sake, they go back to the time in the Middle Ages. And there's an aspect of them that does feel like they're making it up. Because especially when I take clients on these journeys, you have different levels of brainwaves. So we are awake right now, hopefully, everybody listening. So we're in like a beta brainwave. So it's a very quick brainwave. But as we start to slow down our breathing, we go and we move into an alpha state, which is more like a relaxing meditation state. And then you can go down into further states. So we're not trying to go to sleep here. So I always keep people in this alpha state, which is the same state you would be in during like a relaxing meditation CD. So in that state, you're relaxed, pictures, thoughts, and feelings are coming up, but there's still the aspect of our ego self who is consciously aware of what's happening. And that's the part of you that's sitting there going, and I've done this myself, wait a minute, this is weird. This feels like I'm making it up. But I keep people in this higher state of awareness and awakeness, because part of the journey involves, okay, we're going to go back into this life in the Middle Ages. Okay, great. So what lessons did you learn there? How is this relationship that you had in the Middle Ages applying to the one we're having now? And the person needs to be able to tell me why this is relating to that, because that's how they get the healing out of it. Because really it's about, you know, things normally people don't want to do any kind of self-reflection really, unless things are going in a very challenging way. So, you know, things are not going well. We want to reshape the way we're viewing reality so that we can come to peace about it. So at the end of the day, whether they actually lived in the Middle Ages or not, as long as the story they're telling themselves helps them to say, oh, you know what? I was doing that same stuff then. And guess what? I don't need to do that stuff anymore. Or, hey, this was wonderful. I think I want to do more of that. You know, it's really about, I don't really always like to call it a therapy, because I'm not an actual, you know, therapist in the way we would think of a therapist, but it's just helping people reshape the way they view reality so that they can feel better about their lives and about the situation in the present, because that's really the only reason to do this in the first place.
So it's more of a healing process for people.
It's just healing. So I'm not here to judge. I'm not God. I, you know, even in the realm of, do I believe in past lives? I really do. But I don't feel like in a physical body, any person can say, you know, this is the way it absolutely is, because we don't know. And we're not going to know till we get there. So even I've always thought, you know, it's probably different than what we're even doing within this healing modality of regression. But if it helps the person feel better, you know, and they can say, you know what, I think I'm going to let that go now. Or I think, hey, you know what, I'm going to recognize my gifts that I had in the past, whether they're real or whether I saw them and now they're in my subconscious because I saw them on Discovery Channel. And I'm going to use those things to help become a better person who's more peaceful. And I think that's really the bottom line as far as I'm concerned.
And so you said earlier, you know, you talk about some of these people, when you regress them, they were talking about stuff from Lemuria and Atlantis and Mesopotamia, things like that. Like, how do you guard yourself from, or do you may not care, but how do you guard yourself from ridicule? I mean, I just asked you, how do you know that these people are just, you know, not just making up things? And you're right. There's no way you can know. So how do people, the general public, take things that you say that, you know, you've heard from clients? I mean, you've taken it seriously enough to put it in a book. So how do you deal with that?
Oh my gosh, K-Town, I've been dealing with it for so long. it's been long. It's been over 20 years. I guess the thing is, you know, it really gets back to why I started it in the first place. I had a friend who passed away very suddenly, and I had an encounter. I saw his spirit. I physically was out of my eyes in a window and had a lot of paranormal experiences around that until somebody said, well, maybe you need to go have a past life regression. And I had carried this grief with me for years. And when I had the regression, again, was I making this step up? The weird thing is, K-Town, is it, you know, sometimes I think, gosh, wouldn't I have made something more interesting up? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, it just, this stuff came out of nowhere. I thought that we had known each other several times. He had always died. I was always feeling weird about it. And in that moment of just looking at the problem through a new lens, from a new perspective, I just said, you know what? I don't need to be upset about this anymore. The message was, guess what? Everybody has a time. It's their it was his time to go. There was nothing I could have done about it. You know, God bless everybody and just let everybody go about their path. And just like this big weight just got up and left. And I thought, my gosh, you know, this is incredible. I think I want to go learn how to do this, and I'm going to go do this for other people. And so, you know, it really comes from that. But I'm not trying to convince, you know, this isn't a religion. This isn't even, you know, this is a process. It's been incredibly helpful to me. It's been incredibly helpful to many, many of the clients that I've worked with. So it's just more of an informational thing. And for those who are interested in it, then they'll find it. And, you know, and for everybody else, I get it. You know, everybody's free to believe and think what they want to think on this planet, which is one great thing. We have a lot of, you know, diversity and wonderfulness here. So it's cool with me.
Right. Very good. Okay. So let's talk about some of the more, unreal stories that you've heard, or, you know, some from the regressions that you've put some of your clients through. Let's talk about, you know, Mesopotamia. I mean, I don't expect you to know every, all of your book. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's totally fine if you like, you know, I can't remember anything from that or whatever. So can you tell me something about one of your clients that says, you know, they lived during the times of Mesopotamia?
Yeah, in these regressions, I was talking about in this book, like Mesopotamia is one of the areas that I really had not covered in any of my other books. So a lot of these people are reporting lives. They're giving dates, you know, because I'll say, well, what date is this? And again, it'll just pop out of their mouths some very early time. They'll see themselves on very early farming communities or early settlements. There was some who talked about in Mesopotamia, they had the Hammurabi code of law, and they were talking about the law had just been placed within the society, which in those very early days really brought a lot of, strangely, the law actually brought a lot of peace to people, because prior to the establishment of laws, you know, everybody could just be punished randomly. But now under a set of laws, everyone was treated with a lot more equality and things like that. So that was one of the interesting ones. They were just talking about how that actually gave them a lot of peace, which sounds strange. And then there's other ones within that same time period that go into people who recollected themselves in the Persian Empire in this city called Persepolis, which is, again, we don't know. We really, as this collective, like Egypt's really in and all those kind of things. Mesopotamia and Persia are still things that we're still learning about, but they're starting to become some good documentaries now that people can watch. And one of the things I talk about in this book in general is that I do believe that the soul doesn't really have to go through a regression to know who it was. You know, we all know things that we're interested in, things that are kind of ringing a bell as we watch that show or as we hear about something, or it kind of piques our interest. And so there's a lot of really interesting programming now where we can actually go look at some of the ruins of Persia and Mesopotamia, which are now, you know, located in Iran. So, of course, it's a part of the world that a lot of us just haven't been able to see in this lifetime. So, but we can still remember those things. And it's definitely an interesting period of history, very, very early times that people had.
Now, is that, you know, a natural question would be, do you ever go back and try to maybe verify some of these stories? Or do you, is that something that you maybe encourage your clients to do ever?
That is a great question, too. There are regressionists who have spent countless years trying to prove different stories and stuff. There was one story about, I think it was a little girl who reincarnated in India and then told everybody, hey, this is where I live. And they were able to verify a lot of details. And I'm glad that people do that, because then it, to me, it lends credibility to, you know, the work I'm doing. But in my work, I'm really, again, it's just for me more about how the client internally feels about it. So I do encourage them if there's a possibility to go do that research. And in another book that I'd written on, it's called Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life, I take people on a different process I developed where we travel out into the lineage of ancestors and we do healing on our ancestors. So we might float down into an event where we see a battlefield and I'll say, well, where are you? And the person will say, oh my gosh, look, there's my five times great grandfather. Okay, great. And normally it's a battle or it's something obviously unpleasant. So we just send some healing to them. So in those cases where we could actually go get on ancestry.com, I think we have actually a lot better shot at pursuing some research that might yield something where the person goes, oh my gosh, I didn't realize my great five times great grandfather really was in that battle, because I can go see it on the internet now. So I think we have a better chance to prove those things. But with the other in past life regression, again, I'm just going for the person's feeling. And of course, if their interest is to find out more, I definitely will steer them in the right direction to try to go get some research about that.
Yeah. Man, that would be really exciting to do a regression with someone and then be able to verify something just unreal that wasn't advertised or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That would be a way to actually verify it. But you, I mean, you talk about these things, these times were like a very long time ago. So I don't know how you would actually do that. What about like recent times? Did anybody ever tell you, you know, that they, you know, maybe had a life in World War One, for instance, or something, recent civil war, something like that?
Definitely. One of my very favorite case studies from a long time ago, it was in my first book called Lifestream, was about when I was first getting into this field. As you've said, like, not everybody's into this. I think this is crazy. So one of my friend's husbands had said, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. You know, we're going to be, this is it. When we're done, we're done. Okay, well, God bless them. You know, everybody can think what they want. So, but he said, okay, but I do want you to take me on a past life regression. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, if there's nothing after this or before this, then how would you have past lives, right? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense.
So he said, okay. he wanted to do it, right?
He wanted to do it.
That don't make any
sense. I think he wanted to debunk me and to prove that I was an idiot, basically. And, you know, I thought, you know what? This is going to be fun. So let's just give it a shot. So I took him back. He was one of these that used to go to these Civil War reenactment things. And in the regression, he saw himself as a Union soldier. And it was so vivid. And he, you know, he believed in their cause. He believed that we needed to abolish slavery and all this stuff. And he believed so deeply in it. He got very emotional. And he came out of the session and just had the strangest look on his face. Because suddenly he was like, wait a minute. You know, it was so visceral in this sense. He couldn't. You know, how can you think there's nothing before that then if you are really able to go there? If you know what I mean. It was an interesting one.
So you only did that with him one time?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So
he never
was he still an atheist?
About it again. I, you know, he just never spoke of it again. So
was he still an atheist?
I really just decided to let him, you know, digest that within himself. And I never really asked that specifically, but I would have to believe that that did, you know, unravel a little bit of that belief system, or at least give people, you know, a cause for pause that there must be something beyond that. Because again, like I was saying, the way these thoughts come to me when it happened for me the first time, even, it's just so out of the norm of anything that you would ever be thinking of. And the level of vividness in his case to which he went into that space was so profound. It couldn't help but change your thinking on things, I would think.
Let me ask you something about maybe something strange and unusual that maybe one of your clients was observed doing when you had them under hypnosis and trying to figure out something about their past lives. Like maybe they were talking in a different language, doing something kind of weird that maybe they did during that time. Have you ever observed anything like that?
I normally do not, because of the fact that I'm not in the brain waves that I mentioned earlier. You've got beta, which is awake. Alpha is meditating. Theta's, there's a healing modality called theta healing. It's a deeper, more relaxed, or we go into delta dipping and things like that. So very rarely does that happen. However, you know, a couple of times people have really gone very deeply into that trance state on their own. Many years ago, someone started speaking in French. That was years and years ago. I haven't thought about that.
Well, they weren't French. They didn't know it. They didn't know French.
No.
That is wild.
And then kind of came back out of that and said, "Wow, that was weird." You know.
So did you translate it? I mean, was it really French?
I couldn't, because I don't speak it. So
did you record the session? Do you record your sessions?
I don't normally. Now these days I haven't been doing many sessions lately because of my writing schedule, but, I really don't, I haven't done them in quite a while, but in the days when I did do them, one of the reasons why I mean, these days it would be hard not to, because we have so many technologies, but in the earlier parts of my career and throughout most of my career, I would encourage people on some level, as strange as this may sound, not to record the session, because I still believe it's a healing. And if you've come there to get rid of and like unload really heavy issues, for example, the goal of the session would be you've come here as one person, and by the time the session's over, there's a transformation that has occurred. So you're not that same person who was burdened by those things that you've let go of. And sometimes I feel like in this, like it's one thing if somebody's giving you a reading or something you've got to remember maybe, but I feel like in this, you know, if we keep going back to how we used to feel, then we're still creating that old feeling that we had. And I encourage people to, you know, take the best and just become transformed by this process, so that the really important things would be remembered, but the things that we just need to let go of so we can move on and move forward with our lives, why bother thinking about those when we have so many bright possibilities in the future to be concerned with? You know what I mean? But it's a far out belief system. I know to not want to record it, but I don't encourage it myself.
Got you. Okay. And, okay. So let's talk about another one. A really interesting one you mentioned was Lemuria. You know, that was, I'm wondering, like, do you tell the client, I mean, do the clients remember what they're telling you during the session, or is this something that they're not aware of?
They do remember. And again, it's because of the level to which I'm not taking them so deeply down into the state. There's part of them that goes, "It's still silly." And we say, "Yes, thank you for noticing that this is silly. Go ahead and just, can we allow these pictures, thoughts, and images to come up?" Okay, yes, we can. And once they start that process, they're just on the journey of relaying this. And so they do remember these things. And the reason why I have regressed a lot of people into the space called Lemuria. For listeners, this is Lemuria is some believe, a pseudoscientific lost civilization that predated Atlantis, that was really put forward by several really early writers, including Madame Blavatsky in her book, The Secret Doctrine, from 1888. The idea is that this was this lost continent with loving, high-frequency beings who work together in harmony. And I had written in the earlier parts of my career a few books for the Edgar Cayce Foundation. Edgar Cayce was what I call him, the world's greatest psychic, the father of holistic medicine, who went into deep trance states back in the early 1900s and gave over 14,000 readings to people. And he was, for example, completely unconscious and unaware of the things he was saying in these trance states. And so I wrote a bunch of books for the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and I've studied those readings extensively. And so within that body of work, Edgar Cayce spoke a lot about Atlantis, and he was one of the reasons in the more modern era of why Lemuria to this day is so very popular. And so because people read my books, those books, they then come and they just are automatically open to this idea that they've lived in Lemuria. And so I've regressed many people. And so some of these reports, they're in this tropical jungle place with love and light. But some of them go even further than that, into the space that I would describe as something beyond the known world, where they're sensing their spirit essence as being one with the universe, where they're non-corporeal, they don't have a body, they're just being loving vibrational energy out in the universe. And then some of them will sense themselves coming down and you know, taking form in a body, and how this was still a very loving time. And so, you know, a lot of these histories are really more aligned with the idea of, I guess, a remembrance of, you know, when everything was so peaceful and loving, because we're trying to draw that peaceful, loving energy back into this current time that we're currently finding ourselves in the 2000s. So anyway, it's been an interesting ride, but lots and lots of that kind of stuff.
That is interesting. Edgar Cayce is a very interesting man. I mean, I have yet to do a, you know, a show on him. I do plan on doing a show on him because he's just amazing. So
yeah, let me know. I love it.
Yeah, I will. What about let's see here. Tell me about any, let me see where I want to go. What about someone remembering that they've died like over and over, like, you know, they'll go into one life, like, oh my God, I was killed by such and such or whatever. Are they remembering stuff like that? Their deaths in those previous lives?
They are. Typically, you know, when we begin the session, we're going through a relaxation, we're placing a protective shield of light around the person, and then they're going into these spaces. The events,
wait, before you go in that, why are you doing the protective light of, you know, the shield of light? Why are you doing that?
Well, we want people to feel relaxed and at ease. So this idea of bringing down light and surrounding ourselves with a loving blanket of golden light just makes people feel more at ease as they're going into these spaces.
It's not a spiritual protection or anything?
Yeah, spiritual protection.
Okay, gotcha.
Sure. Sure. Just so that by the time they get there, the other thing is, I'll have them meet with a guide or an angel, a guardian angel or a spirit guide of some kind, who goes with them on the journey. So by the time they're getting into these spaces, we'll just go back to this example of the Middle Ages. Let's say they go to the Middle Ages, they see who they were, they find some friends they know. And then I'll say, you know, go to the last day of this life and just notice how it is that you pass into spirit. Noticing, just notice it. Okay, great. And as soon as they notice, well, you know, I fell off a cliff, or whoops, a rock hit me in the head, or whatever it was. Great, go ahead and lift. Up, 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 up. Let's just come out of that experience and go into the peaceful space in between lives. And then we kind of draw on peaceful healing energies. So we're not really in those spaces very long. Sometimes it's important for the person to experience how they died in case, you know, maybe there's someone that did that to them, or, you know, different things like that need to be healed. We can have healing conversations with these individuals that we knew in the past as well in this space as well, and cut cords and do healing on that. But we're not there. We're not there to engage in the drama of the thing. We're just there as if we're almost just looking down on something. Just like if you watch TV, you see people get killed and you go, okay, well, I'm watching that. That may not be pleasant, but it's kind of separated from you, you know? So it's similar to that. It's more of for let's just see how it happened. And then let's go ahead and just let that go and move into a peaceful healing space.
So how did you pick? I mean, you've done this for 20 plus years. I mean, it's a long time. So how did you choose which ones to put in your book?
I really wanted to. I was going to just write a book called Past Lives in Outer Space. And the publisher was like, well.
No, why outer space?
It just makes me laugh. I mean, I like those regressions. I think they're interesting. But they were like, well, how about more? Because what if not? Everybody might not think that they lived on other planets or, you know, whatever. Okay. So then I've got to go into some of the really, really ancient stuff that's kind of iconic. I just think this is interesting. One thing in this field has really opened up my appreciation and my love for doing historical research and just thinking about history in general. And so, you know, these are all the big ones that we've seen on the Discovery Channel, you know, especially Egypt. I've written a book for the Edgar Casey Foundation about Egypt. And so, you know, I'm really into that. Greece, of course, what's not to love there? You know, the Celts, everybody wants to hear about the Vikings and the Druids and just all the fun stuff. And then, of course, we get into prehistory, which is some of the really interesting cases of people who are just, you know, eking it out, trying to get a meal tonight, you know, and just really struggling. So it's just kind of interesting.
And I would like to hear like one of your favorite, you know, maybe past life regressions. Do you have one that stuck with you over the years? Or maybe it's not a favorite. Maybe it just stuck with you over the years.
My very, 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 very favorite is not from the ancient world, but it shows the power of how this, as a process, as we've discussed, thinking of it more as a technique or a healing or a process, how it can really transform somebody's life. I had a client many years ago. It works very well on phobias, like you're terrorized of things. And when I talk about a phobia, what I'm meaning is you have this fear of something, but there is absolutely no reason for you to have this fear. It doesn't come from anything from your current experience, and it's completely unfounded and maybe even crippling some aspect of your life. So I had a client many, many years ago who was actually afraid of the dark. Middle-aged, so afraid of the dark, cannot turn off the lights in the house. So lights always have to be on. And just finally, again, probably had been to some therapy. I don't remember all that part, but just said, okay, sometimes the past life regression turns out to be the last straw. We're just wanting some answers. And so we went on the regression and I took him into a time in the 1700s, which of course is much earlier. Again, he couldn't really name the place, but again, it doesn't always have to be named, but he said it was somewhere in middle America, like farm country. There was a farmhouse. He was a little kid. He lived with his parents. They lived in this old crickety house, and they had this long flight of stairs that led down into the cellar. And of course, like every little kid, mom and dad said, whatever you do, do not go down those stairs. And so what did he do? Of course, he has to go down the stairs just to defy them. And he slipped and fell down the stairs, and he experienced his death as he died at the bottom of the staircase after hitting his head. So we went up into the peaceful space, but we're still trying to release a phobia. And so in this case, a lot of the work, you know, in this level is just very intuitive. Okay, where are we going to go to help this person actually relieve this phobia? So I said, let's just go back through the scene and let's just have a do-over. You know, I'm sure everybody listening to us right now, K-Town, would love to have a do-over with something that we've done in our lives. So let's just have a do-over here. So I said, let's just go back. Okay, so you're standing at the top of the stairs. How do you feel? Ooh, I just want to go see this. Okay, great. Well, he said this was like in the 1700s. So there was no light. There was no electricity in this place. Okay, let's imagine there's a little candelabra there. So go ahead and light a candle. stick it there on the top of the staircase and let's light the staircase up. And I want you to imagine now that you're just going to walk very gently down, 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 down the stairs. So go ahead and do that. And then go ahead and walk around that cellar area and let's see what it looks like. And so he walked around. So what's in there? And he was like, well, not much. You know, it's like, well, darn, you know, probably not enough to warrant dying over. But he went in there, he explored. Then we let him come back up the steps, blow the candle out, close the door, and then just tune into the feeling of having, you know, just completely not had this thing happen to him. And we did some, I always have clients, and this is in all my books as well, exercises where we're imagining any unwanted influence. There's a cord of light between us and that, and we can cut cords and send light and bring peace and healing to our bodies and stuff like that. So we did all of that. And he came out of it and he said, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. And I said, well, this is wonderful. Now, I mean, the thing is, sometimes it takes a period of time because we don't know, you know, we feel better that day, but what is going to result from this thing that we've done? So I ended up running into this guy a couple of years later and he said, you're not going to believe this, but I'm telling you, after that regression, I was totally okay with it and I didn't need to turn keep the lights on anymore. I could turn them off. And he said it totally changed his life. Now, it doesn't happen like this all the time. But even with my own experience, you know, I'd carried this grief around. And the minute I did the regression, I said, okay, I'm done. I don't need to act like that anymore. I don't need to feel like that anymore. So sometimes there's some real miracles that can come from it. And that's my favorite story. So
I really enjoy this conversation. I think your book is fascinating. Tell my listeners where they can find out more information about you and when your book actually comes out.
Yes, I am at pastlifelady.com. You'll see links on my website for my books. Just click on it. And this book, Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, will be out on October 8th.
And do you want them to buy it from Amazon? Do you have a preference about where you want your books purchased or no?
I love them to buy it on Amazon, but I know some people don't want to buy it on Amazon, so just anywhere they would like is fine with me.
All right. All right. My special guest is Shelley Kerr, or Dr. Shelley Kerr, and her book is called Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, and that is available on Amazon. I will have the links for you, Shelley, in the show notes. Many blessings to you, and I really appreciate your time.
K-Town, you're amazing. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I'm wishing you tons of continued success.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.